Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Dedet, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we have a news and notes episode for you all. Before we get into everything that's been going on in the world of women's soccer, a quick reminder, we're on YouTube as video. You can subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird. Never miss a new episode whenever we go live or our exclusive interviews and so much more. Subscribe to Attacking Third on YouTube. Lisa, there is a lot to get into here. More than I think we were anticipating, but that's also a beautiful thing. How are you? How are you doing today? Here's a check-in.
I love the check-ins. We need those, right? For our sanity, for our mental health, just to, you know, make sure we're doing all right. I'm doing good. Busy week. It's crazy that the NWSL season is right around the corner because it feels like we were just covering the championship and then the drafts that all just happened. And before we know it, players will be reporting to preseason camp and we'll be getting schedules hopefully sometime soon and a lot more to cover, but there's been trades and hirings and a lot of activity over the last week. So our news and notes episodes, we almost like put them on the calendar, like, yeah, we'll see what happens. And then so many things happen and you and I converse with each other and we're like, we have to do an episode. We have so much to talk about. Creating our rundown is just a giant list of everything that has happened. And we get to chat about it. So I'm pumped for that. But check in for you. How are you doing? Are you holding up? How's your day looking?
It's looking pretty good so far. You know, this morning I got to start off my day with soccer, which is always a beautiful thing. AFC Women's Asians Women Cup is kicked off officially. Group A got all their matches in. People can catch those games on Paramount Plus. If they missed it, they could watch it on demand. They could catch full highlights on Attacking Third YouTube page. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Everybody should head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird and you can see what we saw or check out what you missed. You know, the time difference is real. It's hosted in India, you know, so, you know, folks might not have stood up, you know, or woke up for a 3 a.m. game.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a decent game at 9 a.m. Eastern, you know, for people to maybe take in their coffee and a soccer game, which is something.
Now, Sandra, I know we're talking about news and notes and we will talk about this, but watching these matches, anything crazy stand out to you? Are you like now swaying your opinion on who's going to win or anything?
You know what? No, I mean, it's too early to tell. It was just two games, right? It was just Group A. I do love, for people who don't realize that, we did do a preview, right, of this tournament. And we had our guest analyst on and Steph Yang from The Athletic, and we chatted a lot about, you know, Women's Asian Cup, and we're all excited about it, and we each sort of gave a team to watch. So, of course, I was keeping my eye on India, and I thought they did great, but you know what? I was really impressed also by the debutantes in Iran, and they both played out to a scoreless draw, and I know a lot of folks are like, oh, that was boring, but
no,
it was delightful. There was a great attack, you know, attacking moments from India. They're probably, you know, a little bit gutted that they didn't get one in, you know, but first point ever in the first tournament ever for Iran. So it was all those moments were exciting for me. So it just made me more hyped for, you know, what's going to be coming up with the Group B matches and the Group C matches that are coming up later this week. So everybody should keep an eye on those if they get a chance. You can, again, watch them on Paramount Plus. And that's just, I guess, the start, right, of some of the news and actions that has been happening. around the world of women's soccer. Let's talk about NWSL news. We've got some news. We've got some signings, right? From teams, some acquisitions that have been made, right? Yeah. Trades, who doesn't love a good trade? San Diego Wave FC, still in the news in terms of making trades and player acquisitions. A little bit new because for the rest of teams, I believe the, you know, most transfer windows are closed. But in terms of being able to conduct business outside of those, I think that was a little bit, we'll just call it maybe a perk, perhaps, for some of the incoming expansion sides that are, you know, coming into the season for 2022. So Los Angeles, San Diego able to still sort of engage and participate in these moves. And they did so with Orlando Pride. They talked about bringing over some midfielders, right? Yeah. Which is an area that we talked about that they needed. You know, Australian international Emily Van Eggman and Taylor Korniak are going to be heading on over to San Diego. And we've talked a little bit about this, Lisa, in terms of the positional area, right? This specific positional area, they stacked up on defenders, which again, we loved, you know, because mm-hmm. this is our moment where we remind everybody that we love defense here on Attacking Third. And then they have also acquired several forwards. You know, they made, no pun intended, waves. They made waves, you know, in bringing in Alex Morgan. They made an early trade again.
That was so cheesy. I loved that.
You got to get it in. You got to get it in when you can. There's also like this very interesting, I don't know, kind of like unique developing kind of trade partnership yeah. happening between San Diego and Orlando. You know, because the Wave are a franchise that had acquired not just Alex Morgan, but also the rights to Jody Taylor, you know, and now we're seeing this move with Korniak and Van Eggman. So it's just kind of like, well, we'll see what continues to develop it more out of between these two teams and in the future. But I think they obviously targeted an important area of the pitch in that midfield there with these two players.
Which is where they needed players. I mean, San Diego is a team throughout the trade window over the last few weeks. We've talked about Kansas City making a lot of big moves and trying to acquire a lot of strength positionally to be a powerhouse in 2022 in the NWSL. And now I think that shift has kind of moved to San Diego, at least for me when I look at this, because San Diego has Kaylin Sheridan and goal defenders, as you mentioned, they are stacked. Abby Dahlkamper, Tegan McGrady, Kristen McNabb, Kaylee Real, Kristen Westfall. Lots of players there, lots of depth and talent. Forwards, they had Mackenzie Doniak, Katie Johnson, Alex Morgan, Jody Taylor, Kelsey Turnbow, another player that they just signed that we'll talk about. But really, they had no one in the midfield. They had no midfielders. And then when you look at some of the players defensively and in their forward unit, you're like, okay, maybe they'll play a wing back position, which is technically considered a midfield. But no one for Casey Stoney, head coach for the Wave, was in that midfield unit. And now bringing over players like Taylor Korniak and Emily Van Eggman, who can not only play in the midfield, but be creative, magic makers in the midfield. I mean, when you look at a player like Taylor Korniak for Skinner at Orlando in this past season, she a lot of the times played up top. Yeah. Now, that's because Orlando had players in the midfield that were fine. Marta was playing there that could create, and he just wanted to push 6'1" Taylor Korniak higher up the yeah. field so she could try to flick it on. And she did score a lot of goals with her head in 2021. But she is traditionally a midfielder. She played midfield throughout her collegiate days, and she's very good at not only flicking the ball on with her head, but bringing it down, controlling it at her feet, and finding those slip passes. So I like this trade, but yeah. also, Orlando, what are you guys doing? I feel like they're losing so many of their players. True rebuild there, right? Like, as much as I have to praise San Diego for everything that they're acquiring, we said it was a big kind of partnership with Orlando Pride, and Orlando is just losing a lot of their players and getting some allocation money. So
there's always there's always the other side of the story, right? With what it looks like. And it just sort of see the fan reaction to some of it was kind of like, oh, great. Like, so who is on our team? You know, kind of vibes. But San Diego, I think maybe on the side of the acquisition side of it are just kind of like, sick, more players for us.
Right.
Let's go. Sending $125,000 of allocation money with potential for additional funds pending certain conditions if they're met. And San Diego Wave also is going to send their natural second round pick in 2024 to Orlando Pride. So I think that was a first as well. I think a lot of the moves that have been done have been involving picks have sort of been for 2023. And apparently now we're looking ahead even to 2024 and including those as well. But they didn't stop there. They also announced another big move in bringing Swedish international Sofia Jakobsen, signing her to a 3-year deal with San Diego and terminating the contract that she had with Bayern Munich, which I don't know if people are like, maybe recognizing how huge that is, but I'm going to just say it. It's big.
It's huge.
It's a huge deal that an NWSL club can lure over a huge talent like that into the American domestic league, ultimately saying, you know, goodbye to one of the bigger European franchises, you know, in Germany specifically. So I thought this was actually announced before the Orlando trade, which was still, I think, maybe highlights that Korniak and Van Egmond move a little bit more mm-hmm. because it was like, oh, wow, what an amazing, talented forward. Like, Lisa, we had the opportunity to have this player on Attacking Third. You did a great interview with her while she was with Bayern during the Women's Cup and highlighting the players that were performing in that tournament. So this move was like really, really elevated. It was a huge deal. And then it was still that angle of like, gosh, they really just have a ton of forwards and defenders. So I think that sort of maybe highlights perhaps the move for the midfielders from Orlando a little bit bigger for San Diego. But it wasn't just the players, right? They were bringing in they're also making moves on the administrative side mm-hmm. for San Diego when they're bringing in Carla Thompson. She's going to be their new executive director of team performance and development and going to oversee high performance and development areas of the club. So there's a lot of different things that San Diego is, you know, making in terms of headlines, right? For their club.
It really is. I mean, Sofia Jakobsen, when that deal happened and we saw that announcement on Twitter, I was so pumped.
I know.
Now that she is in the NWSL and really like terminating, it's not like a loan or anything that we could see in the middle of the season coming over for a short stint, just seeing what she can provide. Nope. Terminating her contract in Europe and signing a 3-year deal. So Casey Stoney, she knows what she wants in her forwards, and she wants speed up top, and she wants a lot of really technical players. I'm so excited to be able to watch this player, hopefully chat with her again, maybe have a few more interviews with her, because her European brain and all of the experience she has, not only playing internationally with Sweden, but with Bayern Munich, to bring that to the NWSL, I think can do so much for the league and even for San Diego for this first year, right? Like we have to go back and look at our 2022 way too early NWSL predictions, because for me, San Diego's climbing up that list right now of who can do really well this year. I mean, this is a huge grab for them.
We're gonna have to revisit it for sure. I don't think that's it's unfair. I mean, granted, at the time we did it, we presented it as way too early ratings, because it was way too early ratings. I mean, there was a transfer window that happened, and now an expansion draft, and now additional acquisitions. So yeah, no, I'm with you. I think we might have to revisit it for sure. Both the California teams have been doing some, some good stuff this offseason, and it's no surprise that like we opened the episode having to talk a big chunk about San Diego, just because they've been in the headlines a bit with you know, naming a new executive director of team performance and development, adding Sofia Jakobsen, and then adding Emily Van Egmond and Taylor Korniak from Orlando Pride. But you know what? We chatted just a little bit about like that other side, right? The other angle from the other team for Orlando Pride. And they made some news as well. They didn't get nothing back, right? In terms of all of these things. They've got themselves a ton of allocation money.
Yeah.
Moving forward, and it's not just with this deal for the 125K for the two players. I mean, we're talking about additional allocation money and other picks and stuff from prior trades. But they made news in the headlines in terms of their coaching staff. So Amanda Cromwell, who they hired as their head coach in the offseason, they were one of about 7 clubs or so who were in the process of needing to fill that position. Go ahead and bring on Amanda Cromwell. They bring in Sam Green as his first assistant. And apparently they're still fleshing things out, right? And on that coaching staff, and they did it with a United States women's national team legend. They're bringing in Michelle Akers back into the women's soccer fold. Former teammate, actually, right? A former teammate, actually, of Amanda Cremmel, so there's a history there. But you're talking Akers, a two-time FIFA World Cup champion, and has a ton. When you're looking back at those early days of the beginnings of the United States Women's National Team, and you're looking at past highlights of games, or you're hearing past interviews with players, this is a name that is always echoed and always talked about. Hall of Famer as well. And it's just, it was sort of presented as kind of a little bit of a return, because this is a player, this is a former player, a person who has been a little bit removed from the game in terms of like, you know, being involved in like a coaching capacity. So there was a lot of great stuff out there in terms of the reaction to this news. So Orlando Pride doing some things with the coaching staff. I know people are like, well, here's a coaching staff, but who are they going to coach?
You
know,
players. So
it's a little bit like, oh, okay.
I think you have to ask yourself that question. I mean, that's what I just said. Orlando's losing all their players. But this hire, I mean, Michelle Akers, when I saw that name, it was like a blast from the past, because she really has been out of the soccer world for a few years now. But as you mentioned, a former teammate of Amanda Cremmel, which is pretty fun. I mean, I can only imagine if in like 10 years or so, I reach back out to some of my former players and I'm like, hey, do you want to coach with me? Like, what a blast that will be. And I honestly think that for Akers, having the separation of really not being so involved in the game over the last few years will help her and almost give her a fresh perspective. I mean, even Cremmel, she's been at the collegiate game for so many years at UCLA before coming into the NWSL. So I think that, like, frankly, this could go one of two ways. This could be a lot of fun for Akers and Cremmel, but they could have no idea what they're getting themselves into with the professional game, dealing with women now that this is their hopefully full-time job to be playing and to be competing, trying to make it on the national team, trying to get trades and play for better teams, score goals, competing with each other. It's a different atmosphere stepping into that. So it could be a bit of an unknown train wreck, or it could work out really, really well, because sometimes the negativity of players and coaches coming into this experience works out really, really well. But
I love
Michelle Akers from like a player perspective. She's one of the greatest, right? Like named FIFA Female Player of the Century back in 2002. Along with Mia Hamm, she was named the FIFA 100 list in 2004. Like, she has just played alongside some of the greatest, and she is one of the greatest players of all time. And that's got to translate. That's got to mean something. I mean, even if you're a player that just got drafted to Orlando Pride, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm about to be coached by Michelle Akers. Holy cow. Like, what? That's amazing. I mean,
it could go that way, or it could go like you said, what an unknown train wreck. That was impressive. It could go either way. That's a spectrum. Right? I think that's a spectrum. And I think that's part of maybe the fun and, taking a look at the headlines of that and getting chatting with someone like that. And I think people need to remember that, you know, this is someone that they're bringing in, yes, with a huge history in terms of the women's soccer game. But, you know, it's coming in as part of the coaching staff and kind of in the assistant capacity. So it's going to be a bit of a different angle that in terms of responsibility that she would probably be having as compared to somebody like a Cremmel, who is wearing the head coaching cap, or Sam Green, who's wearing the first assistant cap.
You know, this is the year to do that and the year to try this for Orlando Pride, because they've lost a lot of their star power, right, in players that they've traded away. It's a rebuilding year for them. Why not try out some different things? Why not try out head coaches and assistant coaches? I like this, you know, like, this is the year to do it. Why not throw all the glitter around and see what happens? Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear, plus my friends in the third row, and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
No, I'm with you for sure on that. I mean, with the movement of players like Van Egmond and Korniak, you know, and that's just the recent move to San Diego, not counting all the other player departures that have sort of come into play during this offseason. You know, Orlando Pride entered their expansion draft and their draft and targeted it, you know, a certain kind of way. And they had a big pick in that first round in the NWSL draft and brought on a forward out of UCLA, Mia Fishel. And it was kind of touted, and we talked about this as well in our own spaces here and across CBS Sports and on Attacking Third, about how it was viewed as a really, really good pick. You know, it was reuniting, you know, a young player in Mia Fishel with somebody like Amanda Cromwell, two people who have had familiarity with the UCLA program. And even then, without just these recent moves from Orlando Pride, Orlando was sort of being viewed as this team that's going into a bit of a rebuild. And that's starting with, you know, with Cromwell and how this team is going to look moving forward, how she's going to flesh out this roster, what it's going to look like. And Fishel was viewed as maybe a piece of the future that could be, you know, a what if sort of, you know, in terms of young players to mm-hmm. move around. Now on January the 9th, we talked about in another news and notes episode, right? A bit of a rumor that talked about how Mia Fishel could possibly be connected with Liga MX Femenil, with Tigres Femenil, one of the, if not most popular side in Liga MX Femenil. They're definitely the most winning side with all their championships that they've, you know, racked up. And we addressed it as a rumor because we were unsure, you know, about it. It came out via, you know, La Marca, and we talked about their reporting, and we said, hey, like, we would love to see it, right? And turns out, Lisa, we didn't have to just love it. It became true. The rumor became truth, and I am just ecstatic about it. I think when we saw this happening in real time, you and I were like texting each other. We were like, oh, yo, this is happening.
It's real.
It's real. We couldn't wait to come back on an episode like this, right? Give it time to sort of marinate a little bit and come back and return and revisit it as something that's real now. And I got to say, I loved it. Watching this announcement of this player sign with Tigres Femenil, I think is huge. Again, we talked about at the top of this episode, Lisa, with somebody like a Sophia Jakobsen breaking a contract, terminating a contract with Bayern Munich to come to NWSL. And then you have a highly touted U.S. prospect in Mia Fishel get drafted by the American Domestic League in NWSL by Orlando Pride, former coach of hers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before even, you know, making the attempt to report to market February 1, signs with Tigres Femenil. And I loved everything that has been coming out of this signing, the way Tigres Femenil as a club announced it, presented it, the way that Mia Fishel has sort of embraced, mm-hmm. you know, becoming a player, becoming a face of this franchise has been absolutely delightful. And I'm here for it. I love it. I know we talk a lot about the women's game, right? And then sort of maybe look at the men's game and sort of see the inequalities there, the lack of equity and stuff like that. And we take a look at players making these moves for themselves, and you can't help but just sort of try to root for them a little bit. And one of the things that we see a lot of times, I think, in the men's side of the game is how there are players, you know, who choose to go play in Liga MX Femenil versus MLS, or players who, you know, choose to play for the Mexican national team versus, you know, declaring for the United States. And I love that there's maybe a little bit of that that's coming into play with this signing, that you have this top prospect saying, you know what? Yes, I was drafted, but to start off my pro career, I'm going to be playing in Liga MX Femenil. It was a delight to sort of see all that kind of manifest and come out.
It really was. I mean, it is fantastic for Fischl to be not only drafted in the NWSL, which is touted as one of the best women's leagues in the world, but then to be poached away by one of the best teams in Mexico. I mean, this is fantastic for her. I have to let our listeners and our viewers in on a little bit of the backstory of this, Sandra, because I know you mentioned it, but there's a little bit more to this story, because I've kind of put myself on blast here and said that what is Orlando Pride doing this year? So when we first heard about this rumor of Fischl potentially signing with Tigres Femenil, it was like, okay, yeah, let's talk about this. This is a crazy rumor. We don't know if it's going to happen. And we said that on our episode back in early January. We were like, this is a very, very interesting rumor that we heard. We love it. We would love to see it. But I don't think this will happen. And at the time, we discussed that Orlando needed forwards. And a lot of times players that get drafted, they don't always see so much of the field in their very first year. I mean, that's when they become Rookie of the Year or Rookie of the Year candidate. But at this point, looking at the Pride's roster and what Amanda Cromwell had put together, or rather lost in Alex Morgan and Jody Taylor, just the pieces that were missing at Orlando, it was like they kind of need Fischl at this point. And Cromwell knows Fischl from the collegiate game. She coached her for 4 years at UCLA. So already like a seamless transition. I doubt she's going to let her go. She's not going to Tigres Femenil. And then bam, it happened. And that's why when we were texting about it, it was like, wow, this happened. We're so happy for her. But what the hell is Orlando Pride going to do now without this very high draft pick that they chose in the NWSL draft that is now gone? I love this, though, for her and for her professional development of the game. This is going to do wonders for her, because she's going to get a lot of time at Tigres Femenil, and she can make a really big impact, and she'll learn different style to the game than she would have if she just stuck in the NWSL, stuck with her old college coach in Amanda Cromwell. The diversity that Fischl is now going to experience will be fantastic for her and the future of her soccer career. But I did have to let everyone in a little bit on our insight as this news was happening over the last week or so.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, and that's part of
there's no hiding
part,
it.
That's part of talking about the once upon a time rumor that became truth, that became fact. But you know, it's just again, I think that's some of the things that people will try to, you know, sort of make or compare or try to find those common threads, and that it's like, yeah, it's like based on current, you know, rules and in NWSL, this player was drafted by this club, by this team, but there was no pen to paper. There was no contract that was signed, you know, in terms of Mia Fischl and in Orlando Pride. And while the deal with Tigres hasn't necessarily, been made public, you know, this is a club that's, you know, been around for 5 or 6 years, has won, you know, a ton of championships already. It's going to be going to a league that's a little bit different from NWSL in that, you know, this is a league that goes kind of all year round. You know, it's broken up into two parts, whereas, you know, NWSL is just kind of one sort of chunk, one long chunk, you know. So there's a ton of different angles here that I think can be taken for, you know, for a player like Fischl, who I'm sure, like any player heading into the draft, was looking for different types of deals and different types of, you know, offers, you know, ahead of that. And the fact that this league was a league that was able to like stay relevant in perhaps all the other clubs that were maybe vying for her services is the one that kind of wins. And I think that that is also a testament to not just Liga MX Femenil, but let's be real, to Tigres Femenil specifically, because this is a club that is very clearly putting in a lot of investment into their women's side, into their women's club team, and sort of showing, hey, if you come to Tigres Femenil, we are going to make sure that this is a place where not only you continue your development, but that you become a name, where you really do make a name for yourself. So I, you know, they introduced her with, you know, with the jersey, the new number, you know, as their new number 10, you know, and that's a, that stuff is a big deal. So it was a delight to see. And I hope this is maybe just opening up the door a little bit to maybe seeing some other things like this. Definitely the feeling that yes, Mia Fischel is the first player in, you know, NWSL draft history to be drafted by a team and then opt to go to Liga MX Femenil, but she's not going to be the last. And that is sort of the exciting angle about it, I think, for us to sort of talk about. But Lisa, this goes hand in hand with what you were talking about a little bit with like Orlando and the players and like what's going on in this net, right? But Orlando did make a little bit of an acquisition of their own. They also engaged in an additional try to get some forward options, right? They acquired Darian Jenkins in a trade, and they sent a natural second round pick in the 2023 NWSL draft with $75,000 in allocation money, going from Kansas City, going to Orlando Pride. Now, so this is a forward that, you know, she was somebody who in 2021 scored, I think, one of our favorite goals, right, during the NWSL season. And that was very, very exciting. And this is a player that has had to deal with a little bit with some injury problems in the past. So I think this is a player that I think a lot of us watching are still sort of waiting for her to kind of have a bit of that breakout season because she's had to navigate some things, whether it's been having to go from team to team in the middle of coming back from injury. So I'm hoping that in this move with Kansas City, that Darian Jenkins goes to a place like Orlando Pride in a phase that's clearly rebuilding and going to be a player that's able to get consistent time, consistent minutes, and be able to maybe finally have that kind of breakout season that we've been looking for.
I think we could actually really see that from Darian Jenkins because she has so much of the bones already there to be a very, very good forward attacking player in the NWSL. And we did see so many glimpses of that during her time at Kansas City last year in 2021. There were moments, like you mentioned, her goal, that was one of our top goals of the entire NWSL season. Now, heading over to Orlando Pride, she is going to be training alongside players like Marta, players like Sydney LaRue that know how to score. Leah Pruitt is also there. So there's a lot of different attacking-minded players that can show Darian Jenkins different styles of play. I mean, if Darian Jenkins can just learn one thing every single day in training from the players around her, I think she's going to be fantastic, right? Like, she's just going to continue to be that sponge to absorb all the information and to grow. She's a player that did deal with a lot and getting time, not getting time, and some injuries and everything like that. But I think this could be a really big year for Darian Jenkins to prove that she deserves to be a starter, especially at Orlando Pride. And if she can start alongside Sydney LaRue, who is still at Pride at this point, that could be really, really fun magic between those two.
I hope you're right, because I think when you're looking at that Orlando front line, if you're a fan of Orlando Pride, you're definitely looking at it and you're saying, who's our forward? And it's Sydney LaRue, you know, but you got to have help. You got to have partnerships. You got to have collaborators, man, in this league. So I, you know, hope that some chemistry can be built a little bit more for both of those players in Orlando Pride. And maybe they can come out with something special in 2022. Gotham FC, okay, not staying out of the headlines either. You've got a number of teams making re-signings and acquisitions, and Gotham is one of those, probably the biggest, you know, Margaret Peirce extending a deal for 2 years alongside Christy Mewis, who has a deal with the club through 2024. Ifeoma Anumanu has resigned a one-year contract, so that duo will still be together at least for one more season. But these are all players, I think, that you're looking at for Gotham FC and saying adding somebody like a Christy Mewis can maybe take them to that next step that they just fell short of, right, in their season. We're talking about a quarterfinal finish for this franchise, which is a huge step up in their previous years in NWSL. But a return to the playoffs, number one, was huge for them. And if they can build on maybe getting, you know, in through those tough moments, I think that's going to be huge for them. And I think having somebody like Christy Mewis alongside Margaret Peirce, yeah, more, keeping Ifeoma Anumanu around one more, you want to have those players that have sort of built up this sort of new culture, right, around Gotham FC. And you're doing that when you're re-signing somebody like Peirce and showing a commitment, right, for a two-year contract, and you're bringing somebody like Anumanu to try to sort of keep the band together a little bit, but still adding another player with experience to try to ensure that you take that next step. I like it. I liked all these signings coming from Gotham. I think they're going to be trouble again.
Sandra, you said it best. The trio between Peirce, Anumanu, and Christy Mewis. That could be so lethal. And under Scott Parkinson, who has, he did a fantastic job with the team at the end of the 2021 season after Freya Kuhn moved over to Angel City. He really did well. And remember, Gotham also, they're losing Carly Lloyd. They already lost her, which I think does change up this style of play, because she played that striker, that 10 striker for Gotham and for Scott Parkinson, that dropped back into the midfield a lot, and she became that playmaker. And I would love to see now to push Peirce and Anumanu and just stretch their opponents and their back lines, having so much speed and the depth up top in that forward position. And then you look at the midfield with Long and Zerboni, and then adding Mewis into that mix and Christy Mewis. There's could be a lot there. This could be a year for Gotham. And I'm reflecting back on our way, way, way too early predictions for 2022. This might change things a little bit for Gotham when you look at all of the different power that they have, and knowing well ahead of February 1st that these players have their contracts signed. They know they have a home and a place to be, a place to make a mark, is huge. And then, looking at like the international stage, in a sense, like Margaret Peirce is at camp right now for the U.S. Women's National Team and trying to prove herself on that stage. So the ceiling for Peirce is very, very high, and it keeps getting higher for her. So this is good to see for Gotham. It's very promising.
Absolutely. To run out some of the signing news for NWSL, Ole Rain have re-signed Ciara King through 2023, Kansas City Current re-signing Desiree Scott through 2022, and Kristen Edmonds through 2022 as well. So the veterans returning to Kansas City Current to try to build on what they started in their inaugural season in 2021, and young player in King staying with Ole Rain, which I think is important. I think when you're a young player kind of trying to continue your development in this league. So we'll see how those signings pan out for the teams. Let's move into some little bit of international news, a little bit just for folks to sort of keep them engaged. Something that was very interesting that we thought could be fun to talk a little bit on this episode was FIFA's fifth pro women's world best 11. Because it kind of got some attention, and maybe not some of the best, maybe a little bit negative per se. Alex Morgan, Marta, Vivian Miedema, Bonsea Lloyd, Stefania Benini, Erickson, Millie Bright, Wendy Renard, Lucy Bronze, Christine Andler, all making the best 11, which some people were like a little confused at some of the players that might have made the list, particularly no Barcelona players. And the fact that Alexia Putellas was not on the list as well, considering she won not only the Ballon d'Or, but the the best FIFA Women's Player Award for 2021. So it, like, there was a disconnect there that people were noticing and sort of, you know, kind of, not, I don't want to say like getting up in arms about, but definitely like voicing their displeasure at the fact that this was the type of starting 11 that was issued as the quote unquote best. But, you know, it's just it's a player award also.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's something that's voted on by players. And I think, honestly, Lisa, and seeing some of the reactions to it, I think, you know, Alexia Putellas, I think, probably put it best herself because she was asked about it. Mm-hmm. And she basically just chalked it up to like, look, like, I know what this award is and what it's about. And, you know, the fact of the matter is like the women's game is not accessible to people. And I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that people cannot literally see us play. And that's a problem. Like, it's a problem when even other players, like women's players, whoever's voting on it, they themselves can't watch the games. It's a sad situation. So kind of like, there were some, I think, standout players on there, right? I think you look at somebody like Christiane Endler, if you look at somebody, you know, like Viv Miedema, who's with Arsenal, you know, there are players who stand out, you know, but there were players who they were like, how are you putting on this player or that player?
Exactly. You know?
So, it was interesting to sort of see the reaction to that kind of on the Twitterverse.
It was interesting. And the fact that I don't think a lot of people realize, as you mentioned, it is player voted. That's who votes for these and that's who gets the pick. But the no Barcelona player is definitely shocking and interesting that it's potentially due to lack of visibility. And I'm not surprised by that because it's not easily accessible to watch these women's matches. And I hope that changes, right? Like, we're working towards that, trying to get a lot more visibility, trying to get better games, better replay games that you can watch on demand later if the games are at weird times. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad we touched on this because this was a lot of news and this is a really big honor for a lot of these players to be named to the FIFA Pro Women's World Best 11. I mean, that's a huge honor for anyone that gets it. Despite all of the backlash for who's on the list, maybe things will change in the future, but it's player voted. Interesting, fun facts that we get to learn about things that I like to learn about.
Yeah. And I like that. I like the way that, that Patea sort of put it out there. She's like, you know what? It's like that's still being fought for, you know, mm-hmm. People aren't able to watch the games and that's an unfortunate, head coach award of FIFA's best coach award going to Emma Hayes from the FA Women's Super League, coaching up Chelsea. So that was also something that got put out there. So congratulations to her. Another bit of news that's happening, maybe also NWSL related a little bit, right? Depending on how you want to look at it. We've got Dr. Nadia Nadim now officially became a doctor, a reconstructive surgeon. You know, we had Nadim join us on Attacking Third. Lisa, she was with Racing Louisville and had just arrived and participating in the season with them. And that was one of the things that we talked about. She's been kept busy by having to sort of balance all of these things, whether it's being a pro athlete and then also all of her work as an advocate and an activist, right, for refugees. And then trying to become a doctor in between all of that. It's madness to think about that. That's ultimately what she did. She pulled off a madness and now she is officially Dr. Nadia Nadim.
A huge, huge accomplishment for her. And not only all of the things you mentioned, being an advocate, being a professional player, dealing with tough injury, having to get surgery for that tough injury, missing out on some international play. She was just about to hit her 100th cap for the Danish international team. But she's a player and honestly a person that is very inspiring because despite any curveball or roadblock thrown in her way, and she has seen more than anyone else would like to see in their lives, she continues to plow through and find a different way and say, okay, I'm injured and I can't keep competing with my team. I'm going to get my surgery. I'm going to continue studying for medical school and she's going to graduate. And I know Racing Louisville is pumped to get Dr. Nadim on a jersey because that is pretty freaking sweet, yeah, let me say.
That's cool.
And not just a doctor, right? Like reconstructive surgeon.
It's so wild that like she tore ACL. She knew she had surgery in the off season, and then it's like, hey, guess what? Now I'm also a doctor of reconstructive surgery. It's wild. But again, extending congratulations to her. Some retirement news making headlines is Canadian women's national team goalkeeper Steph LeBay announcing her retirement this spring. The 2016 Olympic bronze medalist, 2020 Olympic gold medalist, has earned 85 caps with the Canadian women's national team and also a 2019 NWSL championship while with the North Carolina Courage. I'm going to extend congratulations to that as well. You know, people look at that as an ending, but perhaps in reality, that's a new beginning for players when they make that decision. So congratulations to her. A very lengthy career that spanned, you know, both internationally and at club, played in Europe along with NWSL, North Carolina, and Washington Spirit. Yeah, congratulations to her for sure. To close out some of the NWSL news, though, we still are like waiting on an announcement, right, Lisa, for Chicago Red Stars and their head coaching position. Several teams, in fact, every other team that was looking for a head coach to fill that position have already done that. And Chicago Red Stars yet to go ahead and make this announcement. And this is actually cutting it pretty close. This is actually, we're bringing this up just because it's about under 2 weeks, less than that, for players to report to camps, for preseason camps. And still a club out there waiting for their head coach to be announced.
This is something that is shocking, yet also not at all shocking to me. I mean, with all of the coaching turnover that we saw, 9 coaches will be different from the start of the 2021 season to the start of the 2022 season. Houston Dash's James Clarkson is the only coach that is staying from 1 year to the next. But this was a team that had a lot of drama surrounding the initial resignation of Rory Daines in the middle of the night after the championship, after Chicago lost to Washington in the NWSL championship, and then Rory Daines being under investigation for the anti-harassment policy in the league, and a lot of news coming out about him and an investigation. But the latest that we heard from Chicago was December 13th, I believe. They announced that they are searching and they're interviewing and they have a process set for their finding their new head coach and making sure it follows all the policies and the guidelines set forth for anti-harassment and in the NWSL. And it has player support behind the hire. And Chicago Red Stars at that time said, we will make an announcement in January. So technically we're still in January, but as you mentioned, less than 2 weeks until players report for preseason. Who the heck is their coach? Why haven't they announced it yet? This is just bizarre to me, because if they have it, why not announce it? What are they waiting for? At this point, it's just becoming odd that we really haven't heard anything on the PR side of things from Chicago. Yes, their Twitter is active in terms of everyday Twitter banter, but nothing official that we've heard from the club. It's really just been crickets from their side of things. And we talked a little bit about it. Good news is no news is good news a lot of times, but this is just weird that we haven't heard anything from Chicago and we are still waiting on it. It's the last coach that needs to be hired. It's the last club that needs a head coach heading into the 2022 season.
Yeah, no, I think that's the best way to put it. It's not for lack of articulation. I think it's just a fact. I think it's not an unfair way to put it, that it's just weird. You know, you have an off season, you know, where clubs are constantly, you know, in the headlines. And I think your club is coming off of maybe some negative headlines, right? I think you'd want to maybe try to, you know, get in the mix of having some, you know, positive things around the club. And, you know, they made the player acquisition, you know, the move with Racing Louisville to bring a player back like Yuki Nagasato into the mix and into the fold. You know, but this is actually a deal that came to light because this player requested it, you know? So this isn't exactly like the franchise was out there making phone calls and saying like, hey, we really want to get Yuki Nagasato back to the club. Like, no, Yuki Nagasato told Racing Louisville, hey, I have a personal event happening in my life. I would like this to happen. See if you can make it happen. And then that's how it came to light, right? So there's not a lot of player acquisition that they have to hang their hat on if they're Chicago Red Stars. And I think one of the big things that people are looking for, perhaps the fans of the club that are looking for, maybe like, you know, the most obvious, which is like, hey, who's going to be leading the club in 2022? So like you said, not a lot coming out, but they did have those few releases on their website talking about who was going to be running the club in terms of the interim head coaching capacity. And Rade Tanasković is listed on there as acting head coach for the moment. But yeah, it's just something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, unfortunately, this late into the off season. And obviously, I think if you're, you know, a casual fan or a very invested fan or even a season ticket holder of the franchise, it's something that you're waiting on and hoping to get news on from this franchise, you know, considering everything that they kind of went through during the off season. And we'll have to just keep an eye on it until then. But 11 other teams, Lisa, having their head coaching positions filled. But into the offseason, it was about 8 or so, right? I think that mm-hmm. we were looking at in terms of teams that needed to either solidify, right, their head coaching position. Because there were some interims who were in place where, like, they weren't too sure if this was going to be the coach moving on to the next phase of things. And Chicago Red Stars was one of those as well. You know, Gotham saying like, hey, like we're committed to Scott Parkinson. Washington Spirit ultimately taking off that interim head coach off of Chris Ward and naming him head coach. Same with Sean Nahas from North Carolina Courage, took the interim off, just made it official. Orlando Pride, Kansas City Current, you know, Portland Thorns, and then during or very early into the season, San Diego Angel City naming their coaches as well. And Racing Louisville FC was a team as well in the offseason needing to look for a head coaching position. But all those other clubs have gone ahead and moved forward with that role, with the exception of the Chicago Red Stars. And there hasn't been a ton around the rumor mill, Lisa, on this. Yeah. There has only been some reporting from Jonathan Tannenwald of the Philadelphia Inquirer talking about something that he heard and that tying Omid Nazmari, I believe, to the Chicago Red Stars. But other than that, there hasn't been a ton out there. So, and that could be a multitude of reasons. One of those things, who knows, could be processes, right? Perhaps there's something in the works and it just hasn't been something that's been announced. But in terms of a timeline that they put on themselves, it's counting down for sure. So we'll see next time when we hop into here how that looks. I want to remind everybody that you can watch the Women's Cup, the Women's Asian Cup on Paramount Plus. Check it out. We're going to be having more updates for you all on that as well. You can watch it on Paramount Plus. If you miss the game, you can watch full highlights on Attacking Third, youtube.com/Attacking Third for all the great highlights. I want to thank you all for listening, as always. And we will be back on Monday with more coverage and exclusive interviews. For Sandra Rivera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.